Hey, you guys.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We didn't get back to about 4 last night.
I did not realize that. Well, it was the last memento. Well, at least the last memento mori at Ibar / Barbarella. So it was a little emotional.
We tore that shit up.
They wanted to take a picture of everybody, so everybody had to get like on the dance floor, like when they turned all the lights on and they turned. Although I think you went out to the bar.
Yeah,
you were the only person that wasn't in the picture.
Yeah.
And well, I didn't realize because we were having such a good time and we were drinking so much and I was talking to people and stuff like that I didn't realize that it was like closing and the lights came on. I'm like, what the fuck is going on? And I'm like, oh, it's like 3:30 in the morning. Whoops.
Dimitri and Jen's daughter fucking went out for the first time. She's 18. She was all gothed out with her fucking face piercing things in her dimpled cheeks and shit. And she was cute as shit and fucking hooked her up with fucking Nick. Nick's like, yeah, man. He got real shy. He's like, yeah, man, she's pretty cute.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then, like, his mom, fucking her mom was, Jen was like, oh, she likes him. Yeah.
I hope that works out. I don't want Dimitri and Jen getting mad at me if they break up and stuff.
Well, he's 21, you know. She's better off with a guy who's 21 than an 18-year-old. Those dudes are fucking dorks, man.
That's true.
They'll get her into more trouble than a guy who's actually fucking working for a living.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, he does. Yeah. He works in a print shop, right?
Works in a print shop, got a car, and he's got getting cool clothes and shit. And fucking, he still lives at home, so he's not fucking struggling or anything, you know?
He's a nice dude. I like
him.
I think Alea was there last night, too, although I just saw her.
Who?
I think Alea was there, too.
I didn't see Alea. She was there?
I thought I saw her.
She didn't say hi to me.
But it was, like, really crowded.
Must have not have been.
It was really crowded. Yeah. So we're a little bit tired, so forgive us if we kind of space out for a little bit. But I said, we did want to come on briefly and, like, talk about this movie, because this was another one that we were just kind of scrolling through, like, on Amazon Prime, and it was in the free-to-me section.
Yeah.
And I was like, how can you not want to watch it with a title like The Torture Chamber of Dr. Sadism?
Yeah.
Plus, Christopher Lee is in it.
Yeah.
He's not, like, the main... He's kind of in it at the beginning and then at the end, so he's not, like, the main... I mean, he's the main attraction, obviously.
Yeah.
But, yeah, he's the bad guy. But he's not in it for, like, the whole middle of the thing. So this is a German film, and this came out in 1967. If you look it up on Wikipedia, it's actually... Its original title was The Blood Demon, which that kind of makes sense. Also, it because we said it's probably one of those... Because I think even when the movie comes on, like on Amazon Prime, I can't remember what title comes up, but it wasn't the title that they have on the card.
Yeah.
It wasn't Torture Chamber of Dr. Sadism. I just can't remember what it was. But there, it goes by a couple other titles. One was The Snake Pit and the Pendulum, because it does have a bit that's sort of like based on Pit and the Pendulum, the Edgar Allan Poe story.
They're just trying to shoehorn some shit in there.
And Castle of the Walking Dead.
Yeah.
Which... that's kind of accurate, also. Kind of accurate.
There are some strong points in this movie. It looks pretty good. I don't think this is a great copy. It does need to be restored, but I can tell that when the movie was new and you saw it on the screen, it probably was pretty cool to watch. It's got cute girls in it, a lot of nudity, and they're just like these cute German vampire-type girls. Goth girls, 60s goth girls. And a lot of gore. And a pretty good idea. It's about this. You find out they had this rich nobleman. He was put to death. They put this damn mask on his face. It had spikes on it.
They Black Sundayed his ass.
Yeah, and then they fucking tore him apart with horses. And it was because he had killed 12
virgins.
12 virgins in horrendous ways that even they couldn't even forgive a noble. He could never repay his for his crimes.
He's trying to be immortal, yo. You got to break a few eggs. You know.
We don't know that until later. What he was doing is he was torturing women to try to extract their damn souls, like he tried to get them to fight for as much as life as they possibly could.
So they'd be scared because it made their souls more potent, I guess.
So he's extracting their life energy, you know, and he was going to make this into an elixir. And it turned out he needed 13 of them, and they killed him on fucking girl 12.
Yeah.
But he had his whole plot to where he had some servants who partially were had some life extension. He could give them slight life extension, and then they were going to let time pass, and then finally they were going to resurrect him on a certain day where they could do that very last one, and he'd become immortal. And he, and so it's a trip, you know what I mean? And he's all still cut into pieces. They got to reassemble him. And it's Christopher Lee when he comes out. All
right. Well, he's Christopher Lee at the beginning, too.
Yeah. But when he comes, you know.
But then they put him back together, and he's like, ta-da, he's Christopher Lee. Yeah.
Right. It's got a lot of, it's not a comedy, but it's humorous, because one of the characters, this fucking slutty vampire goth fucking countess, who likes to seduce priests. And, you know, she's, and all the priests are these chumpy. They're the seminary students, really, more, aren't they? They're not really full blown priests.
Yeah.
They're what do they call them, acolytes or something?
Yeah. What are they?
There's some kind of a religious school right next to her castle where she's drinking them up. And
she's going out to the window and going, oh, boobies.
Yeah. I don't know if that's a German actress, but she's little. She's probably
one
or 5'2" and cute.
Because I had kind of forgotten about that, because what happens at the beginning, like when Christopher Lee gets drawn and quartered, because he killed 12 virgins, then they jump ahead 35 years,
yeah,
I think. So there's a whole thing too with like this countess in the middle part of the film, which is 35 years later, being like the reincarnated, or the daughter? She's the daughter, right?
It's the...
of the slutty countess?
It's granddaughter.
Oh, okay.
It's granddaughter, I believe.
I thought it was daughter, but I could be remembering.
I thought it was granddaughter. It doesn't really matter. It is the same actress, I believe.
And you said she, because I said, man, she looks just like Barbara Steele.
Yeah.
And you said, yes, she looks familiar. Her name is Karen Dorr, and she was actually in... You Only Live Twice, Bond movie.
Oh, okay.
And she was also in an Alfred Hitchcock movie called Topaz.
Okay.
So you might have seen
her. She looked familiar.
Yeah, like I thought that too. But then I was thinking, well, is it just because she's like a dead ringer for Barbara Steele? She looks almost exactly like Barbara Steele. I wanted to mention too, you'll find this amusing. The guy that directed this, he mostly did like German films, obviously. He did a shit ton of them. But he also directed that documentary Chariots of the Gods.
Okay, yeah. That's a piece of shit.
You know what's more shocking about that is that that documentary was nominated for an Oscar.
Yeah, well, it was ahead of its time.
I'm like, was the competition that year?
It was ahead of its time. Well, the late Great Planet Earth, probably.
Yeah.
That one was another one that was terrible.
Matt Holland,
Those documentaries, when I was a little kid, man, they impressed a lot of people.
That's
true. People just believed them. And they're like, oh, yeah. Scientists believe. Scientists know that there's aliens, you know, coming down in the past. And if you watch those documentaries, it doesn't even say anything close to that. It's very creatively edited, very much kind of like the UFOs, ancient alien dudes with the hair.
Yeah.
You know? Everything is couched, you know? It has been said that.
Yeah. You know, by someone. We're not saying who, but some people somebody believe, somewhere said it.
Yeah. Some people believe. Experts agree. Wait a minute, what? Just real vague.
Not experts in this,
right.
Just experts
some
in
expert.
Something.
You're right, yeah. Some expert, they have agreed that aliens came thousands of years ago, you know, and the Toltecs were talking to the aliens, you know. Really?
Well, of course, everybody knows that.
Yeah.
So you have this kind of prologue at the beginning, like I said, where Christopher Lee, who's his character name is Count Regula.
Yeah, he's regulated.
He's regulating the shit.
Yeah, yeah.
Count Regula, and like I said, they're like, well, we can't call him Dracula.
You're right, it's Regula.
He's the regular Count Regula.
Yeah, it's his knockoff Count.
Yeah. they can't call him Count Chocula, because that would just be silly.
They didn't have the fucking license.
So he gets drawn and quartered, and then over the ensuing decades, like the ensuing 35 years, I think the Wikipedia page says 40 years, but I'm pretty sure it was 35 years. So over the ensuing decades, the townspeople, like this rumor has sprung up that they call it the Blood Castle, like where Regula lived. I don't know. I mean, there's kind of like a thing where they think that he's still alive or something. Or there's like some kind of thing about it. Or
there's a bunch of superstition about the damn
dragon. Yeah, or it's like it's haunted or some shit like that.
It was haunted by the damn dragon, by the vampire girl.
Yeah. And then, so then you get, for different reasons, you have like a couple of people going up there. Like there's this guy, this is in the 18th century, by the way. They don't really say when it, where it is. There's this guy named...
In olden times.
In olden times.
It says in olden times.
Olden, T-Y-M-E-S. You know, that time in history. Yeah. But, yeah, and it's in Germany somewhere. It's in Bavaria or something. So there's this lawyer at the beginning. His name's Roger. And he was actually in the RKO Tarzan movies, like back in the early 50s, yeah. Among other things. He's also German, I'm pretty sure. But, yeah, so he gets... Somebody writes him a letter because he's like an orphan or something, and like he doesn't know what his identity is. So somebody writes him a letter and said, "Hey, you need to come up to this castle and see Count Regula, and he'll like clue you in about your identity or whatever." So he's on his way up there, and then you have this Baroness Lillian von Brabant and her little her lady in waiting or whatever, whose name is Babette. And they're on their way up there because she supposedly is going to get some inheritance.
Yeah.
So they go, and then they kind of run into the comic relief, who is a monk, yeah. except not. He's yeah. pretending to be a monk.
Now hold on, let me back up. Let me put this picture in the minds of these men. So this, what was her name again? The
Baroness.
The Baroness. What was her name?
Lillian von Brabant.
Yeah, okay. So Lillian... is a little short, cute brunette. She's probably, I don't know, I think she's probably supposed to be about 24 or 25. And Babette is her fucking friend who's kind of like the Germanic fucking blonde, you know
what
I mean?
With lots of braids.
Lots of braids and boobs and shit, you know what I mean? They're both
braids
smoking.
And boobs.
They're both smoking. And it looks like porn's going to break out at any moment. It kind of does. It's not really... There's a lot of nudity in it. And they knew how to sell movies back then. It was a young male audience, and they're trying to give them some shit to gaze at. And it succeeded. The sets are good, too, in this. The sets
I have
are
to
very
say
good.
I really, really like the production design on yeah. this, like the art design, particularly that one scene, and I think you even mentioned this when it was yeah. going on, the one scene where they're going, it gets dark, and they're going in the coach
yeah.
up toward the castle, and it's, you know, it's, like I said, it's nighttime,
yeah.
and the guy that's, like, driving the coach is like, I don't want to do this, it's like, because yeah. there's all these superstitions about it, yeah. and then he starts seeing all these, like, bodies and, like, body parts,
in
like, hanging from the trees and, like, coming
inside
out of the trees.
The trees.
Yeah, it looks really cool, and yeah. it's, I really, really like the way they lit it.
Yeah, and it's all 3D.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? The carriage is going through this forest. It's lit up, and they're showing the angles right. And it's kind of like if you've ever been to the Haunted Mansion in Disneyland. Kind of reminded me of that when you're going through the Duke
yeah, where you're going through the
you're going
through
outside the
cemetery.
Kind of
yeah.
like that. Kind of like that.
Like not as
over the top.
Over the top as that.
Well,
but
similar lighting, similar structure. It
yeah,
looked like it was outside.
It was creepy.
Yeah, it's creepy. You could tell that this copy of it is not totally restored, but it probably looked really cool when it came out. A lot of giallo type of lighting. It's not a cheap movie. It was a well-made movie.
Yeah.
You know, this isn't like a bullshit movie, you know, somebody pulled out of their ass for a couple grand. This is a German production. It's trying to compete with Hammer.
Yeah, this was 1967, so I'm yeah. trying to think of, like, some of the other the Hammer movies that came out in the 80s. Yeah. But this is definitely trying to, like, compete with Hammer. Like yeah. I said, Christopher Lee being in it,
yeah.
too.
So you got stars in it, and you got good-looking girls and fucking good sets. And I wasn't pissed off by the score or anything. There wasn't anything in the score that bothered me. There was gore in it and comedic relief. You know what I mean? There's comedy in it, too.
Mostly the fake monk guys.
Yeah, and it's all fun. Sexual comedy.
Pretty much.
So worried about his
yeah.
dick and his balls and seeing dicks and balls where he's looking at it, seeing sex and everything. They're just showing like religious paranoia where the priests are always afraid that they're seeing sex.
Oh my goodness.
Until that damn hot ass vampire girl fucking got on him, and then he's like, oh, well, okay. You know, she drank his ass, though.
Yeah. She drank his ass.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, so mostly like once the little ragtag group gets up to Blood Castle, then they're kind of forced to contend with this servant named Anatole, who you find out later was, like, the servant of Christopher Lee's character, Count Regula. Yeah, fourth throwdown said there's Count Regular, Baroness Semi-Regular,
yeah.
and the Viscount Intermittently.
Yeah.
Intermittently.
Yeah. The movie knows that it's pulling these tricks on you, too. It's not trying to hide the fact that it's trying to get around shit. It's a good movie.
I mean,
the writing is good.
I mean, but well, most of the middle part of the movie is, you know, the gang being sort of like chased by Anatole and falling into various traps. Like I said, you know, the lawyer guy, like Roger, he gets trapped in a pit in the pendulum situation, like in the, and then the Baroness like falls into a snake pit at some point, or almost falls into a snake pit because they're trying to like make her scared. So Anatole, you find out
that bed almost falls into some spikes.
Yeah, that's right.
Bad bondage almost, and shit.
Yeah, and she was like tied up to the thing, going, "Oh no!" They're like lowering her onto like a spiky thing, and so there's that. And yeah, so there. So most of the middle part of the movie is them just going around this castle, like falling into various traps and getting pursued by Anatole. And you find out, so Anatole, he had drank some of the elixir because it wasn't finished, because the whole rule was he had to kill 13 versions, and he got killed before he did the 13th one. So he's like wanting to do the 13th one, like for immortality. And so he figured it out that Anatole drank some of the elixir that he made, so he like could live longer. Although he died and then came back, because he said he was like walking dead, right?
Yeah.
And his blood was green.
Yeah.
And at first I was like, what? And then I was like, oh, well, because the elixir was green.
Yeah, he wasn't really the walking dead again. Yeah, I guess he was life extension. He was life extension.
Well, he said that he died, though.
That's right. He got hung.
Yeah.
He got hung, but it didn't kill him.
Yeah.
You're right.
And he like came back. So his whole thing, they made this whole plan where Christopher Lee was like, well, you know, if I get killed, like, before my mission is completed, then you need to, you know, bring me back. So that's what he does. He, like, has him in this, like, glass coffin thing with his little arms and legs and shit, like, not attached. So, you know, when they get the Baroness up there, who is supposed to be the 13th one, because she's the daughter or granddaughter or whoever of the original Baroness... And so for extra potency, they're going to get her as the 13th one.
Yeah.
So, like I said, so Christopher Lee is in it at the beginning and at the end. But mostly in the middle, it's Anatole, like the servant, like chasing the guy around, like looking all creepy, like chasing them around and stuff. But like I said, I really, really liked the sets on this. Like the inside of the castle, it looks really cool. And I really like the, they had like those big murals that were like Hieronymus Bosch type stuff. Like, they weren't exactly that, but I've obviously inspired by that. And they were kind of like, I don't know, it's not day glow, but they were like really bright, like saturated colors with these big murals like on the walls, and that looked really cool. I liked that a lot.
Some of the paintings they showed were photographs. They were just telling you they were paintings, though. Remember that?
Well, yeah, that's true.
They showed the photograph of the fucking vampire princess girl with fucking nude fucking booties sticking
out. That's right.
And I'm looking at it and going, like, that's no painting.
That's a photograph. Right. I mean, they at least could have taken the photograph and, like, painted over. Maybe they didn't have time.
They didn't have time, I guess.
I mean, maybe
that's easy to do.
But I did, But I mean, I did like that they did, like, the Boschian sort of murals on the walls. Those were really cool.
It was like, cool. It looked like a haunted house inside there, which is, that was the tone of the 60s. That's what they wanted. And a lot of it looked real. And some of the Bavarian towns they were in were real medieval towns. I don't know where that was.
They did shoot it in Bavaria.
Look real good.
Thank you, Victor. I missed y'all. I've been working every Wednesday and Friday.
Thank you.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Thank you, man.
Thank you very much. Oracle's talking about Christopher Lee. Yeah, he elevates whatever he's in. Yeah, and they have him kind of looking a little sallow in this one, because he's just kind of like, you know, they made him much paler.
Yeah.
And, you know, and they kind of did his hair where it's like black and it's kind of...
We ought to do a show on Christopher Lee, because he's got a fucking interesting backstory. He did a bunch of hardcore shit in his fucking life. Ian Fleming, actually, when he was writing 007, he was imagining James Bond as Christopher Lee. He evidently knew him.
Honestly, I would have loved that. I think Christopher Lee would have made a good James Bond.
Yeah, evidently, you know, I don't know all the details. I'm going to do the research, but evidently he did a lot of really cool real life
shit.
Because
he's so fucking suave.
Yeah. He was a badass, too.
We should do... Actually, you know what? One of these days... Give me a pen, please, so I can write it down, because otherwise I'll forget.
Yeah.
Or actually, I probably need paper, too, now that I'm thinking about it, and I'm not going to write it on my hand. It's kind of stuck. We should do a show that's like Christopher Lee and Peter Cushing.
Okay, yeah.
That would be cool. I'll put it in the poll, and then we'll see. Because that would be good. Because tomorrow night, the show we're going to do tomorrow night is Sid Vicious.
Yeah, okay.
And Nancy Spungen.
All right.
So I've already watched like two or three documentaries about that and like read all about it. Like, you know, because I wanted to kind of get caught back up on it because I hadn't read about it in such a long time. But that's what we're going to do the show about tomorrow night. But yeah, this is like a pretty decent, like if you like Hammer movies and you want to see kind of a German take on it. As I said, I think my favorite thing about this, other than Christopher Lee, because, I mean, obviously, he's awesome, but I really, really like the sets. Like, and I really like the way they did the lighting. And, like you said, that one particular sequence where they're going through the woods with all the bodies, like, hanging from the trees and stuff, I really like the way they lit that. It's, like, really spooky. And, like you said, it's kind of like going through the Disney World, like, the Haunted Mansion, like, going through the cemetery. Not as goofy as that, but... You know, it's creepier, but I really like the way they shot it. Yeah, Adriana says, Christopher Lee was quite hot, magnetic, and charismatic. Yeah.
He was around for a long time, too. People don't realize that he made it into the Star Wars prequel.
That's
God
right.
God damn it, the fucking ghosts are calling. Yeah, he was Count Dooku.
That's right.
He was one of the best things about the prequels, was Count Dooku.
Yeah. Fourth Star Down says, have you ever reviewed The Devil Rides Out? I've been wanting to because I just rewatched it probably like a few months ago. And I'm like, damn, this is a good movie. We should probably put this on the list. But yeah, we'll get around to it because I actually really do like that movie a lot. Victor was saying, what's tomorrow's show about? We're doing Sid Vicious and Nancy Spungen.
Sid and Nancy.
Sid and Nancy.
Yeah.
That's what we're doing.
Interesting story.
It is, and it's sad, actually. Yeah. It's a really sad story. But, you know, since both of us kind of grew up in, you know, the kind of punk rock milieu, I guess.
Post-punk.
You know, it's, so we can kind of add some shit about it as well. I was pretty young when Sid Vicious died.
It was a creation of the old media. If something like that were to happen today, you'd never hear about it. That's the weird thing about it. Just that they were famous in their day because it was a lot harder to be famous back then.
Because
airtime was fucking precious. And that was just some of the weird people that made it into air coverage. And then what happened to them?
Yeah. And it's still... Shit, man. I still, when I was, you know, writing the notes and stuff for the episode... you know, people still dress up as Sid and Nancy for Halloween. Yeah. So people still remember him like this many years later.
Yeah.
I did like that movie. Did you see the Alex Cox movie with Gary Oldman?
Yeah, it was a good movie.
Yeah, I actually haven't seen it in a long time. But
some people cast aspersions on him, but they were people of their time.
Yeah.
They didn't know any better. They came from nothing.
And yeah.
Sid was an idiot. He was an idiot, okay?
He was, by all accounts...
he was very young and had no idea what was going on. He was just born addicted to heroin, and he was just an idiot. But he wasn't a bad person in terms of, like, mean-spirited. It's just, everything was against the guy. From day one.
Yeah. I felt kind of bad for him. I mean, he did do some fucked up shit. I'm not saying that.
And he was funny. He did do some shit that was funny. He was dealt an extremely bad hand. I mean, his parents were fucking heroin addicts. And he was born addicted to it, so come on.
Yeah.
You're doomed.
Well, and honestly, doomed. Nancy didn't have much of a good upbringing either.
Yeah.
So there was that whole thing.
Yeah.
She didn't really have a chance either, to be honest with you.
Right.
Let's see. Camp Guy says, I've read all the Fleming Bond books. They're amazingly good reads. You know what?
I haven't read a single one.
I think I read... Casino Royale.
Yeah.
Or I've read one of them, I know. But I should probably remedy that, because that's probably something I would like.
And I've only seen a few of the old James Bonds.
Yeah.
I think I've seen all of them over the years. Yeah.
Because they seemed like they were on cable all the time.
Yeah.
And I was just kind of like, oh, James Bond, okay.
I liked the Craig ones. I remember really liking the Timothy Dalton ones, but I haven't seen them in so long. I saw those in a theater when they came out, and at the time, I fucking loved them. I wouldn't mind going back to seeing them again.
Yeah.
And then I really liked GoldenEye. I thought GoldenEye was really good. But then, like, what was that guy? What was his name? The guy who did GoldenEye. What was that actor's name?
Pierce Brosnan,
yeah. I noticed that the Pierce Brosnan ones kind of progressively kind of got sillier. There was always kind of a campiness to James Bond, but yeah. They just kind of got a little... Some people talk bad about the Craig ones. I liked all the Craig ones. And some of the ones that people didn't like, I liked them the most. Like, I liked Casino Royale. Everybody liked that one. But I liked Quantum of Solace. I thought that was one of the second best ones. I liked Spectre. The new one that came out, it was kind of fucking doing some shout-outs to the entire Bond series. It did some stuff that was a little bit out of character for the Craig series, but I still loved it, still liked it. And people, everybody got killed. Man, that was the last one he was going to be in. You had to give a fucking ending to every one of those characters, including Felix. And Felix died, and so did Bond. But they weren't coming back anyway. Those actors weren't coming back. You have to reboot it now.
Yeah.
That's what they're going to do.
Just like
they're pissing me off because everybody knows the fucking what's his name should be James Bond, but they said they won't give it to him.
Danny Rowling says Christopher Lee was a pilot dogfighter, which is badass.
Yeah.
And then Oracle says he couldn't stay a pilot though. He had a weird vision failure that washed him out of pilot duty. It was a real shame because he was a natural pilot. Victor asked, have y'all reviewed the new Texas Chainsaw Massacre on Netflix? I've had a lot of people ask me about it, and it really seems like. I don't, I'll reserve judgment until I see it myself, but every horror channel that I subscribe to, like, just from looking at the thumbnails on their reviews of it, I'm thinking that it's probably not all that good. Hmm. But, I don't know, we'll see. Oracle also said, on the other hand, Christopher Lee went into RAF intelligence and hunted down Nazis, which is also badass. Yeah, Amanda says that Texas Chainsaw Massacre film on Netflix is very disappointing. That's kind of what I heard. It looks like people aren't saying it's the worst thing ever, but they're just saying, like, why? But, Fourth Throwdown said Sid Vicious was still an idol to a lot of young women when I was at college in the 1990s. Yeah, I kind of feel like even nowadays, even though it was such a long time ago, like, he's still kind of a cultural icon.
Oh, man, that's fucking... That motherfucker never damn took a shower and was fucking constantly picking his nose and shit. Fucking and fucking nasty.
He was kind of...
Yeah,
he
was dirty.
That was kind of the whole punk thing. Like, they're all covered with zits and shit like that. And it's like it seemed like every fucking picture that you ever see of Sid and John Lydon as well. It's like they always had these big fucking zits that they've been scratching all over their face.
Well, I guess you can get away with that when you're 16 or 17. You know what I mean? The girls will still think you're fucking cute because you're only 16 or 17. But imagine that motherfucker at 40.
Yeah.
Never showering and fucking dirty and picking his nose and eating the boogers and shit on TV and fucking... Motherfuckers were dirty, man.
Yeah, they were.
Yeah.
Very working class. That's just kind of...
So working class people were dirty?
No, I'm just saying that they,
I think they were working class. They didn't have fucking jobs. They were, like, underclass.
I was talking about, like, their parents, mostly. But like I said, we'll get into that, like, tomorrow night. But yeah, so... So let's circle back to the Christopher Lee movie. As I said, if you like Hammer movies and you want to see a German take on it, this is on Amazon Prime, so you can watch it for free. I'm pretty sure it's also on Tubi. So if you don't have Amazon Prime, I think you can watch it on there as well. Might be under a different title, because it has like four different ones. If you look it up on Wikipedia, it actually is called The Blood Demon, but it's the same movie, Torture Chamber of Dr. Sadism. Obviously, that's the best title, but it does have some other ones as well. So, I guess we'll wrap it up. I gotta take a nap and shit like that, because I'm still kind of worn out. Actually, I don't know if I'll take a nap, but I'll have some coffee. I got a little new little couch back there I gotta put together. But
you can take a nap on that thing, couldn't you?
Well, I can't now, because I haven't put it together yet, but yeah. So we'll be back tomorrow evening at 5 p.m. Doing our show about Sid and Nancy. So hopefully you guys can make it. And thanks for dropping by today. Thanks for your super chats. And we'll see you guys tomorrow.